Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for Season 3 and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches.
As well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode. For this week's episode, we welcome newly signed NN running team athlete Mark Scott to the podcast. We spoke to Mark on the pod previously, back in January 2021, when he was training with the Bowman Track Club. Since then, he's gone on to run PBs of 12:57 and 27:10 over 5K and 10K, and we chatted with Mark about the improvements he's made in the last couple of years, as well as his decision to leave Jerry Schumacher and the BTC in favour of the NN running team and a move to the roads. Enjoy.
Okay, first off, Mark, welcome back to the podcast. Great to have you return to us. We had one early doors for us and a lost change for us, but I think a lost change for you as well. I think Matt and I were looking at your PBs were sort of like 13:08 and then outside 28 minutes for 10K as well when we had you on. So quite a few revisions there.
Yeah, like you say, a lot has changed and I can't even remember when we did the podcast originally, but yeah, it sounds like we've got a lot to chat through and have the listeners take a bit of interest. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Look, obviously now, 27:10, 12:57. What was the key change? Obviously, you were at Bowman Track Club when we spoke to you. But is there anything like throughout our time? Obviously, we know you've moved on now, but we'll start there. Like, is there anything like that sticks out from your time at Bowman that really kind of helped that improvement, getting you to that world class level?
Yeah, I just think from day one, just committing to the program and the training. Obviously, notorious for high mileage and really intense sessions. So I think committing to those two, and when you are doing those big sessions, it's quite easy just to step off if you're not really feeling it one day or you're getting dropped, something like that. But just to stick it through and really follow the pace for as long as you can helped me a lot. And the main thing I think was just being consistent, not getting injured. The first couple of years were a bit injury ridden. And then once I found my feet, I really kind of got the sessions nailed down and really just took it in my stride just to, like I say, a lot of it is just finishing these big sessions, which Jerry would administer. And if you can do them, you really know you're in a good place. So I think for me, yeah, it was just staying injury free and nailing those sessions really. And obviously having some of the best guys in the world to tow you around the track as well.
I mean, was there anything you done to stay injury free, or do you think your body just started to adjust and you got used to that volume then and used to the sessions?
Yeah, I think that's it. Just taking a bit of time to adjust. Just simply coming out of university, I was just not really in spikes a lot, and going into Bowman system, there were spikes like every week, even pretty much in the winter a lot of the time, especially with the Pacific Northwest weather being pretty bad and rainy. We're on the track every week, so you kind of, you need a spike plate on some other shoes, or you just have to get in your Dragonflies pretty much. And I think that was a big thing for me, was just getting in them every week. Just body just wasn't used to it and didn't like it at all. So I think that was a thing. Once I got used to that, that helped. And just getting used to the speed work, because a lot of people are just hurting hamstrings, whatever it may be, lower legs on speed stuff. So getting used to that really helped me a lot. And yeah, just piecing together mileage, pretty much just stacking it one week on top of the other. And pretty much if you've got a little issue with a bit of a niggle, then, you know, take the day off. And that helped me a lot, just rather than pushing through little stupid things.
Yeah, it wasn't just yourself obviously running those sorts of times in the group as well. Like, it seemed like that kind of 2019 to 2022, like for Bauman, like especially like you guys on the men's side, ridiculous kind of race results, and it seemed like everyone was pretty much firing, like bar a couple of guys. And how much did that help and going into races, knowing that your teammates are going for exactly the same thing?
That's the thing, yeah, because usually if you do get in shape like that and you get entered in these quick races, maybe you'd think it would just be you left doing the last 1200 alone. But like you say, yeah, I didn't have any of that with the races I did, just because we were just driving off one another, and we all knew we were in good shape with the sessions we were knocking out. And yeah, it's just, I feel like you can thrive off one another, knowing you're in really good shape and wanting to test yourself in those races. So yeah, I think even at one point at Boston, I think we had 8, 9, maybe 10 guys all go under the world standard at that point. I think it was 13.5 mm-hmm. maybe at the time. We split up between A and B races, and I think, yeah, everyone pretty much who was in that 5K got the standard, which was pretty incredible that night.
Yeah, I feel like you guys definitely set the bar for that, structuring your season in that way. Before Bauman and before you guys came along and started really attacking those times indoors, it wasn't, not many people would go indoors and try and nail like a 5K qualifying time. They might dabble in like a mile and a 3K and race. But I feel like now you guys kind of set that routine, if you like, and now everyone's doing it. Everyone wants to nail a qualifying time indoors and then prepare for outdoors.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. But yeah, if you're in great shape at that time of year, a lot of people are obviously up at altitude in January, February time. So if you get in good shape, in good nick, then it makes sense to go and attack these qualifying times, because you don't know what's to come for the rest of the season. Maybe you get an injury and then you can kind of hold off on the race, and knowing you've already got the time in your pocket, ready to go for the major championship that year. But yeah, it is kind of the model everyone's doing now, and it seems to be everyone's doing it, and it's kind of apparent that Bauman isn't really doing it anymore, which is a funny thing. I know the team is not kind of as puffed out as it once was, with a few people left and things like that. But yeah, it's funny just how it transitions for a lot of other people. But it worked really well for Bauman, and I think that's why a lot of people have followed suit.
You talk about knowing you were kind of ready to roll in some of those races in the group. Do you remember any specific workouts before that 12:57?
Yeah, a couple. A key indicator would be at Bauman, for a 5K at least, would be you do mile, 1,200, 800, 400, and then back to a mile. This was at sea level. I know we were at training camp in Flagstaff, but on some days we would drive down to Phoenix 2 hours and just strictly get to sea level, so we can hit a lot of race pace and some good quality sessions. So yeah, splits, this would all be off 3 minutes rest and just some splits. Let me try and think. I do know the first mile would have been around 4:09 to start off with, kind of that 62 point range, something like that. So then you're looking at going for 1200 in about 3 minutes, pretty much, just 60s. I think the 800 split was 1:58. The 400 was 56. And then the last mile, we ran 4 flat on the end of there. We definitely could have broke 4 in that session there, but we kind of wanted a wind up. So we started 62 and then kind of brought it down that way. So we just kind of rattled the last lap pretty well, just kind of simulating race stuff. So that was one session where we hit And it's not to say all the guys hit them splits. The front end did. And that's kind of when you know you're ready to roll. So that's just a bit of an insight into kind of one big session we would do. That's about 10 days out from race day two.
Goodness me, mate. It sounds impressive. I've got to ask you, you know, what's what kind of sticks in your memory more, the 1257 or the World Indoor Bronze? What was it?
Honestly, they're pretty on par. But if I'm going to choose one, I obviously would go for medals over times. And just seeing even like the race, the world record last week after the guy who obviously beat me in that race as well. But I think I could have maybe took his number that day, which would have been nice. But a year ago, obviously, not a week ago. But yeah, obviously always going for medals over time. So they mean a lot more in the sport. But I wouldn't have been able to get that medal, I don't think, if I didn't run 12:57. So the kind of the quick time feeds into the medal in terms of like, yeah, I'm ready. But at the same time, for the mental side of things as well.
Yeah, defo. And, you know, what's going forward after that race? Do you look back on, like you won a medal there, but do you look back on your time at Bowman and a bit frustrated with your championship performances through the summer? Kind of Bowman almost had that stigma, if you like, that they were, you know, turned into almost like time trialists. Do you wish you structured your seasons a little bit differently coming into the summer?
Obviously with the 12:57 and the medal, no. Because you never know when you're going to get a chance to run that quick and get a world medal under your belt. So but yeah, looking back at it, I was in the best shape of my life way, way too early. With three major championships coming up in the summer. Hard to say with that. Obviously disappointed that the results didn't go my way over the summer in the major championships with the year just gone. But I had some other stuff going on. I got COVID twice, got a bacterial infection, a lot of travel, and all these things kind of weigh up and add in together. Little minor injury and stuff, and all those days off really do accumulate, which didn't help my case. But it's hard to see obviously these people running away from you in the final of the world championships, for example, knowing you can't compete with those guys on your best day. And obviously far from my best, so I couldn't do it. It's hard because you go on and look at the other guys who ran well indoors on Bowman, and some of them still had success in the outdoor season. So like Grant, for example, held his form. He obviously 12:53 indoors and went on to run 12:46. So there's an example there, and Moore's the same. They finish in top 10 in the world championships in both disciplines, and 5K, 10K. So it shows it can be done. But a few, yeah, like I said, just a few unfortunate events for me. And obviously it wasn't meant to be that summer, but looking back, I wouldn't change anything for what I accomplished in the indoor season.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it, because obviously that time kind of takes you to that next level almost. But moving on from that, I know like there's been all change with the Bowmans. Like, when was your kind of first inkling that the move was happening with Jerry going to Eugene and things like that? Like, when did that start unfolding for you guys rather than for us as people looking from the outside?
Yeah, actually not a lot earlier than you guys probably knew about it. It was more of a fact. We were up in Park City, Utah, training. And the way it actually came about was Grant got a message from like the University of Oregon, asking if he would pretty much not supply a reference, but like verify who Jerry Schumacher was and what he's about, kind of thing. So we were like, there's something strange kind of going on. We knew there was rumors of him taking a job in the NCAA level again, but we didn't know quite how soon it would be. So Grant obviously vouched for Jerry and then reached out to him after the call was over. And so he pretty much spilled the beans to Grant there. And we then had a kind of a team meeting that day to see what was going on. And Jerry was actually up in Park City that day. So he came over to the house and had a big meeting with us all and kind of outlined his intentions and his plans. Said he'd like to take the job if we had any kind of hindrances about that then, to let him know. Otherwise, he's pretty much going to press on and take it. And it was more of an assurance from him that Bowerman Track Club would not be changing. And yeah, we were pretty much going to have to move to Eugene at some point.
And did it change? You know, how did you guys feel at that point? The way that doesn't sound ideal. And then, you know, he's probably assured you it's not going to change. But from looking from the outside, it looks like it has changed a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's changed as well. And obviously why I'm kind of no longer of the member of the team. I just don't see how it could have remained the same if you're taking on an extra 50, 60 athletes to coach. I just didn't think the one-on-one connection we had was going to be the same. The time spent with the team, I didn't think was going to remain the same and just obviously be diminished a lot because of the University of Oregon is the biggest job in the country, pretty much. And there's a lot what goes into that, being the director of track and field, let alone the head coach of the men's side as well. So press conferences, interviews, you name it, it's taken up a lot of time. So I didn't think that was going to really impact me very well, and didn't really want to live in Eugene was another thing. And that was a lot of people's kind of thought. We were happy in Portland and the setup was going really well. So why should we change that? But if you want to be coached by Jerry, he wants you to be there in person multiple times a week to get the best out of you. So, but yeah, a lot of arms were kind of up in the air, like what's going on type of thing. Because it wasn't actually that long before the World Championships when we were told about it. So, but yeah, I just wasn't ready to make a big change in my life like that. A small change like that, just for the sake of moving a couple of hundred, like 150 miles down the road. I just didn't see it being that beneficial. So yeah, that's kind of how it went down.
Did you yourself have that final conversation with Jerry, or?
I voiced my opinion saying I didn't want to move to Eugene, and I didn't really see it working in the future for me in that sense. But yeah, me and Jerry playing phone tag for a lot of weeks before we actually had a good conversation about the whole move. This was when it's already been ahead, and I just said like I wasn't a fan of it, as he already knew. And was probably going to move on and look for a new path pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously when looking for your new path, we know where you're at now, but how did the kind of process go? Like, were there other people you considered? But it seems like you've gone from kind of the most high profile track club in the world to the most high profile road one. So it's going pretty
right. Yeah. It's going well in that sense. And that's just, I want to be surrounded by the best people in the world, because I think it really does bring me on a lot further as well. So that was, yeah, didn't really have any other situations I was really looking at. And this the whole NN running team came about. I'd always tag on some road races on the end of my track seasons for the last few years, just using that fitness and try to get a bit of experience on the road, knowing kind of that's where I did want to go in the future. I didn't think it would be this soon, but that's where I wanted to ultimately end up. And just coming from a bit of a road background when I was a junior as well, I kind of really enjoyed it and thought this could be what I want to do. But yeah, so I moved agencies, now represented by GSC, Global Sports Communications, which are primarily road-based. And they've got a whole sliver of athletes like who some of them are track runners, but predominantly on the road. They're based in Europe, which was a big thing for me coming from the US, where my old agency was in over there. And yeah, just obviously wanted to be in that European time zone and someone who had great connections with all the best road races in the world, pretty much. And that's those guys. So it just came about when I was my current manager now, Dan, Dutch guy, he approached me at Antrim Coast Half Marathon, and we've had a relationship kind of since I started running that race there. So he kind of got in touch and was like, if you're ever like interested or kind of you want some advice or anything like that, not really stepping on the toes of my current agent, just kind of been friendly. So that's kind of, we just got in touch, took his number, and we kind of went on from there. And yeah, pretty much that's where we're at now, is he represents me. So
yeah, no, that's really cool, mate. I mean, how did you, when was it you got the inkling that NN might be interested and you might be able to possibly jump in with Kipchoge and the boys out in Kenya?
Yeah, when was that? I'll have to think back. I remember briefly mentioning it to you on a long run.
Oh, mate, I know. I couldn't believe it when you told me. Yeah, it was yeah. I think it was September, October time, maybe.
I think so, yeah. It was all kind of new in the works, but I realised it could become a possibility. And yeah, so whenever that date was, that was kind of, things were starting to get, the ball was getting rolling. And I was like, this thing's actually really going to take off. And kind of that's where we're at, is just kind of setting up camps to Kenya and do a lot of my training out there in the future.
Because there must have been a period, mate, where you're and I remember, you know, you're coming down on the long runs and kind of, you must have been thinking to yourself, who's, you're kind of still hanging on to what Jerry was setting the guys, but you must have been like, who's going to coach me, where am I going to find myself, you know?
Right, yeah, it's not a great time, obviously. Just kind of leaving a coach and you're kind of stuck without anyone else moving forward. But I've been running that many years now. I know what clicks for me. So that's kind of, I'm actually still self-coaching at the minute. I don't have any kind of affiliation with Patrick or anything, Patrick Sang or anything like that at the minute. Just simply because I've not been immersed with the group yet. Mm-hmm. With having an injury and all the guys like really hitting it right now, ready to get in fine shape for the marathons coming up, Boston and London, which the group is targeting. So yeah, and with the recent injury I've had coming off after Liverpool, some Soleil stuff and then small stress fracture in the tibia, I just like, Kenya was more of a building platform for me rather than hammering training. So it was just the wrong time of me to dive into that group setting and just kind of undo all the recovery which I had been doing. So, yeah. But yeah, self-coaching at the minute with a look for that to change in the build-up to my winter marathon, pretty much.
What's that going to look like then for you? Like, do you know how much time you're going to spend like in the UK, how much time in Kenya? Will your kind of sessions be set up when you're here as well, or will it just be when you're on camps that you're sort of working in with the group and doing that training?
Yeah, so NN is really flexible in the sense where I can pretty much be where I want when I want to be. And I'm not obviously going to live in Kenya all year round, because that's just not really, obviously it's not really feasible for me and what I want to do. And I want to be in the UK as well, and that's why I made a shift over from the US back to the UK. So I will go on a couple of camps, maybe two, three camps a year out in Kenya, probably in the real build up, kind of that prep phase for the marathons before the specific work really starts, I think. Just because I think for a European athlete, for example, it's so hard to go to Kenya and really hit marathon pace. It's just not really doable at the altitude. So I think if I get in good shape over there and then come back to sea level and then put on the specific marathon work, then that's probably what I'm going to look at doing. So it might be two or three camps a year over to Kenya, 6-8 weeks at a time. But the rest of the time, yeah, other little training camps. I've got a little trip to Portugal planned. I've got a camp in St. Moritz planned. So yeah, it won't be all UK based, but if you're going to ask me where my home is, then it would be here.
Yeah, nice, mate. I mean, any races coming from, your ends coming up soon, any targets, a few rumours are flattening around, you might be doing London, you might not. I guess with the injury, that's probably set you back now. So right. Have you got anything in the pipeline?
Yeah, the ultimate marathon target hopefully will be Amsterdam, October 15th. So yeah, that's probably the main goal moving forward, obviously, to try and hit the Olympic standard there, 2:08:10. But yeah, just backtracking from then, if the club qualify, maybe national road relays, 12 stage. would be kind of my first one out. But the club, let's see what the club do. I'm going to be away for the Northern Champs, so I would obviously love to represent them there, but I think I'll be away on training camp, just getting ready for later races. So yeah, hopefully national road relays, and then I'll do Istanbul half marathon 2 weeks after that, April 30th. On from there, it's not really looking to hammer a PB and smash it out of the park at Istanbul necessarily. I just want to have a good solid run, kind of see where we're at coming back from these little injuries. And then just, yeah, dive into training after that and kind of get after it a bit more.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting, and Matt and I have spoken about loads on the pod, is we've wanted to see like our best 5,000 and 10,000 meter runners step up to the marathon while they're still in their prime and running their best 5 and 10K times. Because we think sometimes, like traditionally, it's been you go there after you think you kind of run your max on the track. But what was the decision for you? Like, obviously, with NN, it seems appropriate, but there must have been a point where you thought, I really want to start the marathon stuff now.
Yeah. Just seeing a lot of other guys kind of step up to the marathon at a younger age and actually having a good bit of success at it. I won't say I'm maxed out on the track, but I feel like I'm fairly close. In a sense, I think I could go under 27 minutes and maybe towards 12:52, 53. But it's just riding that kind of red line of getting injured over and over again with the specific intense track work. I just kind of felt that I had good endurance. Like I said, I saw a lot of other people moving up. Was ready for a change, especially after the three major championships in the summer, obviously not going my way. Maybe I've already accomplished more than I ever thought I would on the track with 12:57 and a world medal. So I didn't think it was ever too early to go up to the marathon. And also knowing that I can take a step back and go back on the track if I really need to.
Yeah, mate. Just a quick note on road relays. That's a lot of pressure for your poor home club. If you do ever want to join Bratton OAC, we've got a few vacancies, mate.
Yeah, I'm a lifetime member of Richmond and Zetland now, so I don't think it would go down too well. But yeah, there shouldn't be an issue with them qualifying at Northern Road Relays. So we'll see Bracknell at Nationals, perhaps.
Well, we're in the same boat, mate. We're always on the cusp of qualifying. So, but mate, you know, you've made it clear where you want to take your career now. But you know, looking back on the World Cross just last weekend, did you get a chance to watch it at all? What's your thoughts on the lack of, I guess, you know, British women, we've actually had a full team, but the lack of British men who actually opted to do it? Because I remember talking to you about this in maybe November time when that kind of rumours of how they were going to pick the team. Were you surprised just to see one guy out there? Were you disappointed? Like, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's obviously disappointing because we are a very strong cross-country nation, and it would be great to see a full team of all age groups going out there. I did watch World Cross. I was really actually very impressed with how like Athletics Australia handled everything. Pretty incredible, actually. The course was great. The footage was really good. Minus the lack of depth in the European side of things, they actually got really, really good, strong names out there. So, but yeah, disappointing not to see more British people go over, but it's just, I do understand it coming from obviously an athlete's point of view. It's just difficult to travel all that way, have a short turnaround and come all the way back. Unless it is obviously your main focus point for the 2-3 months building up in the cross country season. But yeah, it's hard because I hate to see one person on the start line for the men, but at the same time, I do understand why that was the case.
Yeah, one's definitely better than nine. It's due to be in Croatia in 2024, apparently, similar time of year. Would that interest you, mate?
maybe. The only thing would be if I didn't nail the Olympic qualifying time in October, then I'd probably have to chase it before the window closes and do one of those early marathons. So it kind of depends where we're at, but it appeals a lot more with it being in Croatia. I did see that announcement as well, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, with that then, obviously looking ahead to hopefully qualifying for the marathon at the Olympics, if you run that standard then, is that when you start to look at like maybe doing some more track race again for a bit and almost having a bit of time off the marathon before then going into it for the Olympics? Or would it just be road focus until Paris?
I think it would be road focus just to get as much experience under my belt as possible for that, for the biggest race, obviously, in the 4-year time span. So yeah, I think it would be strictly, it's going to be road based moving forward now, just until we hit that qualifying time pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, good to hear. And we wish you all the best chasing it, man.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.